is Twig, This Week in Congregate, the show that kicks around Flash games trying to get the best of them all. Episode 13, now with more voice.
Again.
Hi, again. I'm Mishu.
And I'm Mircha.
And hey, I'm Roby.
Roby is Yodabyte on Congregate, and he's a level 65. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've been around for a while, not as long as Mircha, but early 2008 is when I joined. I've got most of the badges on the website. I'm only missing three or so. And I used to rate games like when there was no rating limit. I gave that rating spam a fair good go. But these days, I don't really care about points as much since I've capped out at level 65. But you know, I still play very, very regularly to get all the badges and stuff like that.
I've been here longer, but since I don't rate all the games, I don't rate most of the games, he is really, really ahead of me. I never thought rating could bring you that high. So rate your games, kids, because yeah, it gives points. It's worth it.
That's how you make those levels, point by point. Yeah. Well, before we move on to badges of the week, I have to make a public statement that I have failed with the first recording of this show, and this is a do-over. So if you feel that some of the dialogue is stale, or maybe if you feel that we already know each other too much, it's because of that. My apologies, my bad. All right, moving on to badges of the week. Since you're new here, why don't you start off, Roby?
Okay, so the first badge of last week was Ragdoll Cannon 4 by Johnny K. And this is the first Ragdoll Cannon to get badges, even though it's the fourth one. I don't think the first three had proper API implementation. It's like the first time he's done this. So this is the first time we've seen it get badges, and this is the first time I've played a Ragdoll Cannon all the way through because of this fact. The first Ragdoll Cannons were pretty bad in the fact that you couldn't really level select or anything. You sort of had to play through the whole game at one time. So this game is actually better than the first few games, even though it has a lower rating. I thought it was okay. There were some pretty cool levels, which required a bit of thinking, but on the main part, it was pretty average game. Nothing too special about it, which is reflected in its rating.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you can stick people to the sticky people, and then make like a giant ball of people and stuff like that. I actually like the whole different people types generally. I think it's the first time he did this. I don't get it because the game is definitely better than the other ones. Why would it have a small rating? I think it's because of the badge thing. Because people don't like working for badges, so they just rate down. Could it be that?
I don't know. I think the badges, the hard badges, is one of the medium hard badges around. I mean, there are some.
Yeah. But why would people rate it down?
I think also because it's the fourth one, maybe people are just a bit bored of it. Maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure.
See, that's what you get for playing games that don't have badges. Because when you get badges, you hate them.
I mean, the fourth shift was rated pretty badly, wasn't it? And that was really successful the first few shift games. But by the fourth time, you're kind of just a bit over the whole concept.
I think also as a developer, sometimes you have to just stop with one thing, begin another thing, because you're not going to be able to push it through indefinitely.
Yep. Let's move on to Elements of Arcandia.
Oh my god, it has candy in its title.
Oh, there you go.
That's about the only good thing about it.
Yeah. After we did the last session, I started playing the game again, so maybe I could get through the badges. The game is actually captivating.
Tractor captivating.
Good. Yeah, that's the word. I mean, I started playing, I didn't realize that an hour and a half had passed, and I was still trying to kill those damn monsters, but the game is really, it's bad.
I don't know, to me it's like really opposite. I'm playing it for 5 minutes, and then I think it's in like an eternity, because nothing happens, and you have to like really grind all the way through. And you get
The game is really slow paced, isn't it? One battle can take, you know, 10 minutes or something.
And then you can like battle it for 10 minutes with some guys, and then at the end, you just lose because, you know, you don't have enough gems or some random thing like that. And that just makes you feel bad. But I think it's missing. Like, most RPG games have this thing that the longer you play, you surely get better. Here you can like just like play for half an hour and you're right exactly where you started.
Basically, they nullified grinding. Like, grinding is zero in this game. Doesn't matter how much you play, you still don't get any further.
Yeah, yeah. But at some point, you get like some combination of spells where you can like kind of go infinite, have infinite mana. But even that's not enough because you just need better weapons and stuff, and you can't get those unless you win, and you can't win because you don't have the weapons. So,
what combo did you point out last time, Robbie?
The combo I used to eventually get through to getting the hard badge was basically using sneak attack is a really good way because good way to do damage because you don't use any turns at all. Sneak attack doesn't use any turns, and when you actually attack after using the sneak attack, it doesn't use any turns. So you can sort of just keep repeatedly attacking without using any turns up. And complementing that, sneak attack uses requires lots of, I think, 12 green mana.
Poison
so
mana.
You
yeah.
Yeah, you complement sneak attack with spells which produce lots of green mana, like Poison Storm and Fool's Gold. And I found that was the best way. So there is an element of strategy to defeating the harder levels, because the one problem with this game is the difficulty ramps up at really silly steps. One level will have 150 hit point monsters, and then the next level will have 500 hit point monsters, and you just got the same stuff as the last battle, and you're wondering, is this even possible? But if you find a decent strategy, it is possible in the end, although it is quite frustrating at the same time. So the difficulty could have been ramped up a bit better.
Next, we're going to talk about Stunt Crazy, and I'm going to mention it again this time because I want to add to what Mitra said in the past episode. Stunt Crazy is not just a game where you go ahead and demolish buildings. It's actually got a nice theme that you're a stunt driver in a movie, and you have to do some creative combos there. And basically,
creative.
They're pretty creative because you have to combine, you know, how you manage your fuel and how you fly around.
I usually just combine smashing into stuff with smashing into stuff. It just works.
So it does the trick for you, doesn't it? But yeah. If you really want to get all the gold trophies, you really have to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
And what I loved about the game is how they've polished it with cutscenes, with newspapers of people hating or loving your game and then making a riot about it, or the stunt awards where you get prizes. That was nice.
Yeah. President of the world.
What? Yeah, you get to be... Didn't you finish it?
No.
Oh, you get to be president of the world at the end.
President?
Yeah.
Of the world.
I think it's because you destroyed it all or something like that.
Probably. Yeah, I thought it was a fun little game. Didn't take too long to get through it all. So it wasn't too challenging. But yeah, it was fun. It was good to just demolish everything with a flying car with no wheels.
Yeah, it's weird how those wheels fall off right after you start.
Yeah.
Your first platform jump and they're down.
It should be a badge for keeping your wheels to the end. That's an impossible.
Oh, impossible, yeah.
Well, too bad, because, you know, a car without wheels. But they can still fly. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good trade.
Into orbit.
You can actually go into orbit?
If you go too high, it says into orbit, I think. Or
oh my
like
god,
that.
That never happened to me.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I know that if you go off screen to the right, it's a home run.
Yeah, right. Home run. And yeah, if you go straight up, you go into orbit.
Oh, awesome. My God. That's awesome.
We forgot to mention the one frustrating thing about Stunt Crazy is the sticky hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I kind of forgot those since last time.
Yeah.
But they are annoying. They have, like, this sticky block where you run into it, and then you're like, you failed. It's like you could say, you failed.
Yeah.
What's the sticky hand mechanic? I didn't get to it yet.
Well, you drive, and if you touch that sticky hand block just the slightest bit, you get sucked into it, and you're just stuck there. You can't do anything. You just like wobble around helplessly, and you may as well just end your turn right there because you're done.
But it's an awesome game anyway. And speaking of awesome games, I want to talk about The Eye of It, which is a fantastic game, said I. Let's go around the table and talk about it.
Then suddenly.
I liked it. I liked the mechanics, the whole talking effects thing. Could have been a little bit longer. Could have cut down on the, you know, the industrial level, so to say, because once you get in the second part of the game, it's a lot cooler. You get to do stuff like fly and shoot arrows and stuff. But generally, it's really nice. It's a nice artistic, so to say, game.
You know, you don't see many unique aspects of puzzle games lately. So this really brought that to the table. And with the obvious, like, humor of it all, it was, yeah, it was an enjoyable game to play through. The ending made me laugh out loud. It's just how it ends so, you know, suddenly.
I loved the game instantly. I mean, after about 5 minutes of play, I just rated it 5 because I was in awe. But even though it didn't have the basic things that a game should have, like save the progress between levels and maybe a mute button, I'm usually entertained by British voices in games. If you
was
remember,
it a British voice though? It had a bit of something else in that as well. It wasn't just British. It had sort of you know, a different European accent on a hint of a different European accent on it as well.
Yeah,
I thought
it's something from those islands, like Irish or Welsh or something. It said elevator. What's
yeah,
elevator?
Elevator. Okay, who's picking up the next game?
I'll take it. The game that got badged earlier today, RPG shooter Starwish. This game has been quite successful. It's got a very high rating of 4.4, something around there, unless badges have decreased that in the meantime. But last time I looked, it was pretty high. This game's sort of strange. It has a lot of very complicated anime art, but on the other hand, its interface is very basic, as if it was, and I think it is, this developer's very first game. But nevertheless, it seems to hit it off with the congregate fan base. But for me, side-scrolling shooter, I would like to see a decent side-scrolling shooter, but this was a very average sort of shooter dynamic. Would have been nice to have a bit more bullet heaven sort of thing, but the bosses repeat, the monsters repeat after a while, everything repeats, it just gets a bit laborious.
I never actually got to repeat anything because I actually tried to give the dialogue a chance and read it. And it actually took, I don't know, half an hour or something before I got through the first cutscene, which is huge. It's like, and it's just like, you talk nonsense with people that talk nonsense and nobody, I think he's trying to develop a story, but really it's extremely boring because you're just like reading. It's like reading a bad book. And then once I got to the game part, I was like, oh my god, this was a shooter. I guess it's lucky that they mentioned it in the title because...
I was quite disappointed about the shooter because I love shooters in general, but this one is just one of the bad ones. I mean, after you've played Bullet Heaven or even Frantic, which was an all-time classic, you just get disappointed when you get to the shooting part. And if you're the kind of guy that puts up with all the dialogue like Mircea did, then the disappointment would have been.
I quit
after half an hour. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Of dialogue.
Okay, yeah.
I actually skipped from the first. Cutscene because I wanted to get the shooter part.
Yeah, but it had like nice chicks. You were talking to chicks, and I'm kind of out of experience in games that are talking to chicks. They usually get to some point where it's pleasurable, but they didn't.
it's basically a disappointing game from a shooter perspective. But since it got badges, I suppose it's worth giving it another try.
Yeah, you're
gonna have to. Yeah. That dialogue continues through the whole game. I think there's like 30 levels, and in between those 30 levels, there's so much dialogue.
I thought you were going to say there's 30 levels, and between those 30 levels, there's some shooter game.
That too.
Do you even get to make choices and stuff like that, or is it just like click, 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 click to get through it?
Yeah, when you finish the final level, there's like one choice, and that's it.
Oh, okay. That's a choice. Okay.
This was one of the fresh games of the week. Now let's move on to the next set of fresh games of the week. Kicking it off with Hands of War 2 Expanded Edition.
Is it expanded?
That's what it says here in the title. Expanded Edition.
Repeated Edition.
Cloned Edition, actually. With more fat.
He kind of says he added new stuff, but I couldn't get myself to play it.
Also, the Hands of War 2, which we've played, was basically a clone of Hands of War 1 with very few... additions, and this one promises a bunch of additions, but would you really play the same game over again just for the extra content? I wouldn't.
I really liked Hands of War 1. I really got into that, but you can't just repeat game and release it again. You know, it just gets, you know, repeating it over and over again just gets old. Just like it's a ragdoll cannon.
It's kind of fishy how do you do that? Like, hey, I haven't released anything in a long time. I'll just like change the graphics a little bit and make a new thing. I guess, you know, Ragdoll Cannon, they made levels, so that's kind of a challenge, but technically it's the same game.
Sorry. Also, it's weird how Hands of War 2 got such a good rating, because it's the second place on the Fresh Games of the Week.
Mm. Well, the thing is, it's still good, because if there is a good game, it's still going to be good 2 years later. But so people don't rate down because they played it again. I think it's the same with Cursed Treasure, the 6th level pack.
Yeah, I think developers get a bit lazy, and if they've had success, they kind of don't want to adventure out. Well, some of them at least. Some of them don't want to adventure out, and they'll just, you know, rehash on that success and, you know, bleed every dollar out of it.
It's kind of a difference to console or PC games where you really can't release the same game again because nobody's going to buy it. But here it seems like everyone gets fooled by this thing. I don't know why.
Right, let's move on to the next fresh game of the week. Well, actually, we've already talked about The Eye of It and Elements of Arcadia. So we're just going to skip over to Alienocalypse.
Oh, this is like the Zerg thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they fix anything about it in the... Well, okay, first time, I was under the impression that they didn't even play the game, because from the gameplay perspective, it's horrible. did they make any updates to it or something like that?
I haven't played it since I finished it.
Oh, you finished it?
Yeah, I did eventually finish it. Yeah. It's a really strange game sort of thing. After you beat every level, you kind of just sit there and watch your units slowly kill the buildings. And you have these little molecules you have to collect for some reason, and you're just wondering why. So you can wait.
Yeah. Things kill the people, then they go on killing the buildings. And I tried letting it run another tab, but I think... kind of flash pauses it or something, makes it run slower because it never ends in another tab. It never ends actually when you look at it either, but still. And another thing about the gameplay is that you can finish the whole game with only one type of creature when you actually have a lot.
Just use flying units.
And just maximize that. You can't even just use non-flying units because they don't attack the helicopters and you just lose. You have to use flying. And once you use them, you're like, why use something else?
Exactly.
You don't have any disadvantages.
Moving on to what game then? Let's talk about that puzzle game. This is basically a corridor puzzle game. You basically control a character on a platform, and you have to move from one side to the other.
Yeah, basically you can. It's a platform, and the trick is you can warp from one side of the screen to the other. That's about it.
Yeah.
It's got a good set of levels, and I played through the first 10 of them, and they were quite nice, but not too challenging.
It's pretty easy for the most part. That the last, level 28 and level 29 are quite challenging. Yeah, you take a fair few retries to get those finished. And I think if there was a fair few more of those levels, it would have been really good. But there was only a couple in there that were challenging.
I think they really put a great deal of effort into integrating this user-created levels stuff. So maybe he just thought that people could make the harder levels themselves and play it, because I think it's a central part of the game somehow. Didn't really play it that much, but it seems to be kind of there.
It's a pity, though, that user-created levels don't really get promoted that much, as much as the game itself. Because if they could be like, maybe if even the game itself pushed the user created levels more, they would be.
Yeah, the problem is you can't really push it, because the first time someone plays the game, they have to play some levels. They're not like you need first you need the content and then you can push it. So.
Well, this concludes the Fresh Games of the Week section, and we're gonna move to A Link to the Past, where Robbie's gonna talk about his favorite game on Kongregate.
Oh, come on, you're gonna. I gotta specify this. Last time he said that he only rates games with a 5-star if they are absolutely excellent and perfect. And actually, he only rated one single game with 5 stars.
So tell us about your rating policy first.
Okay. So usually I'll rate games, you know, sort of 3 out of 5 is what I rate most games. If they're decent games, which most games you, with badges, they're pretty decent on the most part. If a game really frustrates me for like the wrong reasons, like if it's you know, got a really annoying element of, you know, like the controls are just weird or there's bugs or there's just bad design, I'll sort of delve into 2 out of 5, or if I'm really angry, I'll give it 1 out of 5. But usually that's pretty rare. I'll give like my favorite games on Kongregate 4 out of 5. So I've, you know, got about 20 favorites on my profile, which you could probably just look at it. My profile is Yottabyte, by the way. I don't think we've said that yet.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And so I've only given one really 5 out of 5, which is Mardek. I really like Mardek. I like the fact that Pseudo Lone Wolf has just, he's done everything. He's done the art, he's done the programming, he's done the music. He's just made it all, and he's made this really comprehensive RPG game. It's got like pixelated 8-bit graphics like the old Final Fantasy games, and it has the Final Fantasy gameplay as well, which I'm a big fan of. And to fully go through the whole Mardek series, my save file was something like over 50 hours of gameplay. So yeah, it's really comprehensive game. It's just one of the most comprehensive Flash games I can think of. I think it's of console quality. You could easily release this. I'll just break down the story. To start off with, in Mardek 1, you're this schoolboy in a fantasy, usual fantasy RPG world setting with your friend, and an alien lands on your planet and dies in a spaceship. But he keeps himself alive by consuming you in the sense that he enters your body and sort of, he doesn't take over your body but shares it with you. And
that sounds kinky.
Yeah. So his alien friends who are on in a different realm sort of come to your planet and try to kill him and take over the world, sort of thing. So you end up becoming this warrior which has immense healing power with your alien buddy inside of you. And you sort of just journey with, I think Mardek 3 has 8 or 9 playable different characters that can join your party.
Wow.
And I really love it. It's I think it's great. I like his, I like Pseudo Lone Wolf's sense of humor as well. So I really enjoy, there's a lot of dialogue in this game, which I think is probably the main reason why it's not up there with the highest of high rated games on Kongregate. But I enjoy the dialogue, but I can understand people finding it a bit too laborious, just like we said with RPG Shooter Star Wish, but I think the dialogue's much better, and then Star Wish much better.
First of all, so that people can get how comprehensive this game actually is, you said that you played it for 58 hours. How much time did you spend finishing Epic Battle Fantasy 3?
Okay, yeah, Epic Battle Fantasy is another very comprehensive RPG game, but it doesn't have dialogue or anything like that, and it doesn't have as thorough as gameplay as Mardek. I think my save game on Epic Battle Fantasy was around about half, 25 hours or so, something like that.
So you can kind of get the idea how long this game actually is.
Yeah, I think it's actually on a totally different level than Flash games. You should really, really consider releasing a console version or some sort of downloadable thing on the because people who play Flash games don't usually invest that much like time, or they just play it and then let it go. And this is kind of, I think it's thought of as a long term experience.
Yeah, Mardek 3 also took a very long time to develop. I don't know of any other Flash games that took as long to make. He took, I think it was 3 years to make Mardek. And followers of Pseudo Lone Wolf, you know, would go to his website and it would just be delayed time after time after time. Because I think purely he just put too much into it and just kept on adding stuff into it. It could have easily been broken up into more episodes, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, it got so big, none of the sponsors would take it because it's 22 megabytes, which is insanely big for a Flash game. And he only ended up getting, you know, something like $3,000 sponsorship money for this game, which was probably a huge financial failure for him.
Probably disappointing too, right? Not such a great game. But maybe there's a future for it.
There could be. If he releases it to the consoles on maybe Xbox Live or PSN. All right. Well,
this was dynamic.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't really feel that awkward.
Yeah, it was okay.
All right, so I guess we're wrapping it up here. Thank you, Yottabyte, for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Promise we won't make you repeat it every time.
I guess okay. we've got the setup down now, and we can use it in further podcasts. All right.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you for listening, and maybe we'll see you on the forums. Maybe you'll write to us and get on the show like Yottabyte did.
Yeah, do that, because that's good. See ya.
Bye.
See you guys. All right, ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know.
And I think there was a
to
the thing here is the okay go
my dreams.